from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Show on the Fan, Ed Norris, Rob Long, Jeremy Kahn joining us right now from the Baltimore Banner. She is Danielle Allen Tuck. Good morning to you, Danielle.
Good morning.
We heard yesterday, yet another pitcher, this time Zach Eflin on the IL. That's 8 pitchers from the Baltimore Orioles on the IL. A problem that exists in baseball, but man, I don't know any team with 8 pitchers on the IL at once.
Yeah, it's insane. It's really bad luck that they have this many guys out. I mean, their rotation on the injured list right now would be like a top 5 rotation in the league if they were healthy. Like, that's just an insane amount of talent that they don't have on the field right now. Luckily, it sounds like Zach Eflin's injury isn't that serious, just some soreness. I'm always a little tentative with shoulders for pitchers, though, to know what that means in the timeline, but it sounds like it's not season ending and he should at least be back in September at some point.
We're talking about injuries, and they've been devastated. It's no secret. Everyone talks about it in the media about, you know, how the Orioles have been hammered with the injury bug. But the fact is, you know, they're in first place right now by half a game with a 74-win team. So pretty amazing with a 98% chance going to the playoffs and all. But given the state of the team right now, how far do you think they would advance in the postseason with this current roster?
I think it depends on which version of the Orioles they are that met. I think if they're the version where the offense looks like they did last night, I think that they can be as good as anybody. I think if they're the version that we saw on Monday where, you know, 2 of their 3 runs were scored on a balk and a soft single down the foul line, I don't think they're going to go very far at all. So I think it just depends on who is getting hot at the right time. Maybe the fact that they scuffed a little bit in the second half means that they're gearing up to be hot at the right time in the postseason when it really matters.
You know what I'm just thinking about, Danielle, is that Tim McGraw's dad played for the Mets. Anyway, I want to get to, sorry, I had to bring that back up. It's a recall for anybody that doesn't know. No, I want to ask you, like, when you look at this Mets team, they've trotted out a couple of lefties, and I don't know, like, if I'm facing the Orioles, I would rather have a lefty on the mound considering all the lefty talent they have. And now we're seeing guys like Colton Cowser and Jackson Holliday become everyday players. Do you think they're a little bit more susceptible to left-handed pitching as opposed to right-handed pitching, or is it just going to be a game-to-game thing?
Definitely more to left-handed pitching. I think they've gotten better as the years got along there, but they're still not as strong. And I mean, a part of it is that they don't have the depth that they started the season with, you know, be able to combat that. You know, they have to play Jackson Holliday pretty much every day because they don't have a second baseman. They're playing Colton Cowser. So just some of these guys who, you know, aren't as strong as left-handed pitching because they haven't seen it as much. You know, you don't see it really at all in the minors anymore. But that means you're starting Austin Slater as your leadoff bat, who has performed well, but he's not the same level of ceiling that some of the other guys would have. So I think that it's definitely something they still need to work at. But if I'm a team who's playing the Orioles, I would line all my lefties up.
Danielle Allen Tuck joins us from the Baltimore Banner, Baltimore's big bad morning show on the Fan. We see Jordan Westberg start to you know, get some work in, limited naturally with a cast, a removable cast on his hand, do you start to get the feeling that maybe it's a good chance for him to be back before the playoffs?
I mean, to be real, I was talking to him a little bit yesterday. He's getting moving because he's bored and he misses baseball. He still can't do much. And, you know, he's doing everything with his opposite hand. He still has a cast on. So he has still weeks to go because he's got to get the cast off. He's got to rebuild the strength once it's off. So it's not like he's, like, a couple weeks away. I think he's at least a month away. So I think there's still a chance he comes back at the end of September. But I just think there's no way to know yet.
Where do you think Suarez is going to land as we head to the postseason? He's looking great as a starter, but people still think he's a better bullpen piece.
I think he's a much better starter, especially with the depth that this team does not have anymore there. I could see it. I mean, if we're imagining Grayson Rodriguez and Zach Eflin being back in rotation like they're predicting they will be, I think your three guys are Burns, Rodriguez, Eflin, and then Suarez is the guy when you need a fourth start. I think the thing with the playoffs is that, you know, in some of the rounds, you may only need three starters. So in that case, I would put him in the bullpen. But he's definitely on that playoff roster. And if they need a fourth starter, he's the guy that I would go to right now.
Yeah, a lot of guys in the bullpen have been attacked by the public here. Soto first coming over. We've all seen what's happened with Kimbrel. What do you make of this bullpen? Because we keep talking about the guys they can get back and how it can help. And I'm one of those guys that would rather see Suarez in the bullpen than as a starter. But, like, honestly, looking at the setup for it, are you starting to trust some of these guys more, or do you have concerns over players like Soto and Kimbrel?
I think the thing with the bullpen is when Sir Anthony's down and Cano is down, who is your guy? And I think that's what's missing from this bullpen. I was thinking about that last night when they used Cano in the eighth, and I was like, who are they going to pitch in the ninth if this stays a safe situation, which it didn't. But they don't trust Kimbrel right now. They have said that they're only going to use him when they're down by a bunch of runs or up by a bunch of runs, and that could change in the next couple of weeks if he starts pitching better. I think Gregory Soto has improved but still hasn't been used in a high leverage situation. And then you've got some of your further down guys. You know, Jacob Webb is out. Kulon is out but could be back next month. I think those two guys would help a lot, but right now this bullpen's pretty weak, and they're going to have to send a guy out today probably from the bullpen to make room for Cole Irvin. So that's going to be one more arm that's not around for them.
There she is, Danielle Allen Tuck, Baltimore Banner. Danielle, thanks a lot for your time this morning.
Thank you.
Thanks.
All right.
Don't take the girl.
Sorry.
Who's that? Is that McGraw?
Yeah. We, no, I think you don't
she
know.
She had another funny concert story.
Oh, really?
The day. Yeah. I'll share it with you if we have some more time. 410-583-1057, that's the number. Daily Line with Jeremy Kahn at 9:30. But on the other side, we brought up Jackson Holliday. He's batting against lefties. He's doing well, part of the offense. Does his first stint in the bigs seem like a distant past? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
9:15 in the a.m. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. I'm broadcasting live from WFAN in New York. Ed and Jeremy back in the studios at home. I don't know how many of you guys, did you hear the final call last night for the Oriole game?
I did not hear it, no.
Did you hear that?
No.
All right.
I was watching, but I didn't hear it.
We all agreed that Kevin Brown's a fool, right?
He's great.
He's a fool. So the final score was 9-5. So I'm sitting on the field waiting for them to give me James McCann for the walk-off. And Kevin Brown says, Birds, O's win 9-5. It's enough to drive you crazy if you let it. Of course, for the young folks or people who just don't know that genre, that's the Dolly Parton quote from the 9-5 style. And I literally laughed out loud wondering how many people got the reference? Because Susie said it, I got it. I'm like, you're a fool, man.
It is great. It was Dabney Coleman walking out. And who else was in that? God, now I can't remember all the names from it. I remember watching that
Lillian
movie.
Tomlinson.
Yeah, Lily Tomlin, right?
Lily Tomlin.
Yeah, that's all right.
And wasn't Jane Fonda in it?
I don't know. I just couldn't take my eyes off Dolly Parton.
I think Jane Fonda was
in it. Yeah, she's in it.
She was, actually.
Yeah, she's in it. Those are the three women. Yeah. But yeah, it was a good movie. And it's funny, you know, she wrote that song for that movie after getting the role?
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Jackson Holliday, when he was first up with the Bigs, he was horrible. He played 10 games. He batted .059. His on-base percentage was .111. His slugging was .059. It means he didn't have any extra base hits. And his OPS was .170. Horrible. He comes back up. He plays one game in July. But overall, so far in the month of August, in 17 games, he's batting .262, on-base percentage .308, slugging .508, OPS .816, with four home runs and 11 RBI for a total of five home runs and 15 RBI. Ed, has that April become the distant past?
I guess so. I mean, I don't think it's forever. I don't know. I mean, it's just, we've seen this before, particularly in April. Guys have these big months, you know, and you get hopeful.
It goes both ways, like it's starting off slow and then getting hotter and starting off hot. And
Jim Mateo was, you know, look a good world beater. Last April. Maybe.
I think Rob and I being on the same team when it comes to Mateo, because it's weird, because you know he's going to have his hot streak sometime, and fans are going to be telling you should be playing every day.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. So.
But with Jackson Holliday, Jeremy, in your opinion, has the April, you know, you just throw that out now?
I'd say before.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you have to. It's like, it's got to be.
Well, see, the problem I have with this is I think there's so many knee-jerk reactions in baseball. And again, like, That's why I wasn't bitching about the Trevor Rogers trade when it first happened. I want to see how he pitches. That's not, like, I wasn't bitching about Jackson Holliday coming up and looking terrible and then getting sent back down where other people are like, you got to put him in a trade for someone. You got to get Tarik Skubal or go get Crochet. I'm like, you have this kid under control and they think he's a generational talent. For what, 7 years?
I think he's a generational talent. I'm convinced of it now. I mean, I thought he was super talented. Even in April, I thought he was super talented. I just thought he was just in over his head. But the more I watch this guy, you see special. You see special when you see him. I knew it was there, largely because Mike Elias told me it was there when we first saw him in April. But I didn't see it. But I believed it because Mike Elias hadn't been wrong on that thing.
I'm not concerned about his, I'm not concerned about his bat at all. Like, the only thing I would say is, like, I'd like to see him play defense more and get more comfortable at second base. But, like, how can I knock that? It's not like he's been terrible there or anything.
But I think we just throw out that April.
There's no question. Yeah. Look at what, and some people say, well, how can you just throw that out? And you're going, look, it was the first time coming. We've seen this happen so often.
Because it's totally different than the Mateos. Mateo was a veteran ball player that was never, you know, a really good hitter. Has an amazing April. So when he doesn't, then I was like, yeah, that doesn't count. This is different. Like, you got this kid with this amazing upside, and everyone's, you know, the top prospect in baseball. And he comes up, and he's a little overmatched, a little, you know, I guess, you know, nervous and, you know, anxious. And you get overwhelmed. And then he comes a second time up. Maybe it's not as daunting, and now it's, you know, it's who he is now.
He definitely looks comfortable, much more comfortable in the clubhouse as well. It's funny, you talked about the defense, Jeremy. And when I watch him, I see some balls get by him that I think in a year or two won't. His reaction, I don't know. I was a left-side infielder, and I remember occasionally had to play the right side, namely, you know, preferred to second base. And I remember my reaction time wasn't the same because it wasn't natural to me. And it looks like maybe the more he does it, the longer he does it, his jump on the ball will be a little bit better. It's just not natural to him right now.
Yeah, I've seen some people say that it doesn't, like, his throwing motion doesn't look natural from second base to first when he's, I don't know enough about that to say that it's awkward or he'll be fine there. I just want to see him get reps. And that's why, like, when we talked about it earlier and you're like, well, Colton Cowser and Jackson Holliday are everyday players now. Well, thank God. Put their asses out there. Let's see what they can do.
Oh, yeah, because, I'm not complaining. Yeah. I'm with you.
Yeah, like, look, I love the lefty-righty matchup as much as any of these analytical guys, and I think that it does, the numbers show that there is something to be said about matching guys up against certain players and having platoon splits. But, you know, I'll say this about Jackson Holliday. Like, just throw his ass out there every single day. Colton Cowser's the same thing, because we need to find out, are they everyday players? And I think both of them are.
We saw the same thing with Gunnar at the beginning of his career. He was sent against lefties at the time because he was new to it. He wasn't seeing a lot of lefty at-bats, or the lefty pitchers. But now, doesn't matter who's pitching. If Gunner's off, he's off. Had him do with the matchup. Well, I'm not saying these two guys are as good as Gunner. I'm not saying they're not going to be, but right now they're not. But I think they deserve the same type of consideration in playing against everybody.
Is anybody concerned about Gunner leading? He's leading the American League in errors.
I'm not concerned, nope. but it is something where the fact that they happen, like, the way that they've happened.
In spurts?
Yes. Yeah. I think it kind of gives you pause. Almost like when the concussions happen in the NFL. We were talking about concussions all the time, and then all of a sudden it was like 20 players got a concussion in 2 weeks. And like, we really got to look at this. You guys should have been looking at it a long time ago.
Right.
But, you know, I think that's...
No, I'm going to work on it in the offseason. It'll be a thing of the past.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to be a error-prone type of guy. I'm glad you brought up... who'd you bring up the pitcher a few minutes ago?
Who, Trevor Rogers?
Trevor Rogers. I'm glad you brought that up. Because yesterday I said I had a problem with him saying he felt he had good stuff on Monday night. So I saw him at his locker, and I asked him about it. And I liked his explanation. He said, if you look at the game again, there were times where I was low in the zone and wasn't getting the call. He said, look at the game. You'll see it. Now, it kind of backed up what you said, Jeremy. It took me from being 1-2 to 2-1, which is a completely different sequence. He said, I felt like I was hitting my target at times, but wasn't getting the call.
I think that explanation's fair. Like, there's still something.
I think it is. It's absolutely good. Because weren't we complaining about the umpire?
Yeah, all of us.
So if we can complain about the umpire, I'm sure he sees it from a completely different standpoint.
And didn't he say it the most polite way? I wasn't getting the call. Not like that umpire is blind.
Yeah. So when he came, I'm not going to say what I say on the air, then you're sitting right next to the guy. You don't, you know, ask him about it. So I said, look, you said after the game yesterday, you know, you thought your stuff was good, even though the numbers don't show. What made you think your stuff was good last night? And I like the explanation.
Yeah.
Because as the game down, he said, you know, if you look at the game again, there were times I'm low in the zone, low on inside particularly. I just wasn't getting that call against righties. Okay? There you go.
And it does. Like, anybody that's played this game or watched it for a long period of time, there's such a difference being in a pitcher's count and a hitter's count. Because now, like, once you're in a pitcher's count, you're protecting for everything. You got to swing, foul things off. You can't, like, sometimes you can't take that chance even when it's off the plate of getting called out on a 3. Changes everything.
And Jeremy, let me give you a basketball analogy that you can relate to. There are nights that the ball may not be going in the basket, but your form is not messed up. You're taking good shots. You walk away thinking, hey, they didn't go in the basket, but I took good shots tonight.
I ain't never had a night like that.
I think
they all went in my mind.
I think that's in your mind. I think that's a lot like what he's saying right now.
Yeah.
The results weren't there, but I was delivering the ball. I was hitting my target. Just didn't work out right.
Mm. Yeah, and like to your point about that, it's one thing to sit here and look at a player and say he's making excuses. And anytime you're kind of defending a not so great outing, a bad day at the plate or whatever, it's always going to look like you're making excuses. But sometimes they're legitimate
sometimes
reasons.
Sometimes legit though.
Yeah.
And I think that's with all the umpiring problems, and you got to still was it one was missing like 20%.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Yeah, 20%.
20% of balls and strikes.
It's one out of five. So I mean, it alters the game, and it's not an excuse. It's a reason. It's legitimate reason. Like, even for the batters, because if he's calling strikes that are 4 inches, you know, outside, the 2 inches are low, and they're going to start swinging at these things that are out of the strike zone. Yeah,
and to the other point of that too, it's like something where you're watching it, and with the umpire that missed 20% of the balls and strikes, that's for both teams.
Yep.
Both teams should be pissed off because, like, if you're going to call the outside pitch a strike, and then three batters later, you're not going to call it a strike, then what the hell am I supposed to believe? Where is your zone?
Ben Hall's encore at 9:45, but on the other side, Jeremy Collins Daily Live.
Yeah, I had a 3-2 night last night in my top plays. My top overall play hit. We'll talk about that. I got all the weather spots. There's a lot of interesting spots today. Some I'm fading, some I'm taking. And more surprisingly than most days, I'm on quite a few sides instead of totals, and there's a WNBA play as well. We'll break it all down for you when we come back right here in the Daily Line. All right, so let's take a look back at yesterday before we dive into today's slate. Lots of things to go over. So yesterday, my top five plays, I had the under in the Cubs-Tigers. It hit under in the D-backs-Marlins. It hit Dodgers minus 155. It hit. And then I lost the Rays and A's over 8. They didn't score. I think it was 1-0 in the 8th. And I had the under in the Padres-Twins game, and that blew up in my face. There were some other plays that were just okay that I would have liked to seen have worked out. But not one of those A's. And like, I try to tell people that subscribe with me that how I break down things, I think, is important because I'm not the guy that shows up and looks at the screen and go, oh, I'm taking that. Like, I do. I can look at a screen and go, I'm pretty sure I'm going to be on that game, but I'm still going to do my research.
Mm-hmm.
And it's weird because, like, I do a ton of stuff with weather, so I'm on a lot of totals, overs and unders. I do my process. I look at the weather. When it matches up, I'm going to make that a top play for me. Because to me, if the weather's telling me something about my, it's pushing me one way, then I'm going to do that. Like, a really interesting play today is the Yankees over, right? So let me just go through how I think about this game. Because the Yankees, it's 8.5 is the total. Yankees are trotting out Nestor Cortez, who hasn't been good recently. And as you look at Cortez, I'm going to pull up his numbers fully. I closed off my screen. But when you look at Cortez's numbers fully, he's been so much better at home than he has been on the road. He is a crazy splits guy, just like I talk about Bryce Miller all the time, has crazy splits. That's why I was on the Dodgers last night. And to his credit, he actually pitched better. But all the money's coming in on the Yankees over. All the money supports a Yankees under, by the way. So there's so much money coming in on the over. The weather supports a Yankees over. I don't know that I'm going to make it a play, but I kind of like the Yankees under for various reasons when you look at it. First off, I'm fine fading the public anytime I find out there's like 70% of the money or 75% of the money is coming in on the Yankees over. Great play for weather, all that stuff, it applies. But sometimes when you look at it, there isn't a ton of power on this Cleveland Guardians mm-hmm. team. And what do we always say about Cleveland? They're going to a bullpen game today. What do they have? The best bullpen in baseball.
They do. They absolutely do.
So to me, this is either a no bet or I'm taking the under. I haven't made my mind up on it, but I'm just trying to give you like how my mind works and how I'm looking at things, because I think the process of this totally matters, and some people don't understand it, which maybe I need to get more into explaining what I look at, because you know, one of my subscribers was asking me, how come you're always on the Cubs games? There's too many Cubs games. And I'm going, wherever the edge is, I'm taking it. One of the greatest edges in baseball is Cubs weather. It is.
Yeah.
And I had a period of time there where I lost 3 games in a row on Cubs totals. Actually, 4 out of 5 on Cubs totals. And the problem was, like, if you looked at the first 3 games, the unders I had, they were all great plays. Goofy things happen. It had like a plus 90% winning or chance to win, you know, mm-hmm. for me. But goofy things happen. 3 errors in an inning that score runs. A guy walks 4 straight batters to score runs.
Yeah.
2 drop fly balls. Are you kidding me? Like, strange things happen in games, but it's not going to... The one thing that I've learned, especially with baseball being day-to-day, you can't get caught up in what happened yesterday or even the day before. Trends can start, and you can try to adjust or stay away from it, but I'm not getting away from what I'm doing, and I've had a ton of success doing. So,
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
You always fade the public, which seems like you do.
Yeah.
Does the sharp money go that way? Do they do the same thing? The professional gamblers just go against the public?
So really sharp guys are going to move the lines early.
Mm-hmm.
So they may hammer that. The problem is a lot of times when people are betting like favorites, or if everybody's on the underdog, everybody's on the over, you're usually not going to get it at the best number, because guys are usually going to wait to bet. If you're betting the NFL, some guys will wait till Sunday. I know there are guys that throw it in early. But a lot of sharp guys, they'll even middle games when you talk about point spreads, meaning try to move the line to 1 point and take both sides of it. Either way, all you lose is the juice, worst case scenario. But if it lands in the middle, you win both bets. So there's some of that goes on, especially in college football when you get a heavy line movement. But like, yeah, I tell people all the time, I'm a contrarian. I fade the public. And I think fading the public is a good thing. You can't just go willy-nilly and go, okay, these are who everybody's betting on. I'm going to take the opposite. No, find the value. Fade the public, and when the process matches up, you make those plays. I've had a lot of 3 and 2 days here in my top plays. It's been a little frustrating because there have been a couple days where I was really close to a 5-0. I think I missed the other night by 1.5 runs, so it happens. Now, what are we looking at today with the weather? Weather supports an Orioles under, a Padres over, Yankees over, Cardinals under, Cubs under was the other one that really stood out. And the A's over was another really big play. So, or a nice play. So when I'm looking at it, the ones with the best weather, Orioles under, Padres over, Yankees over, which again, we talked about it, and the Cubs under are the best weather spots of today if you just want to bet according to the weather. What do I like? I think the Braves knock off the Phillies today. It's a great pitching matchup. Aaron Nola for Philadelphia. I don't like Aaron Nola against this Braves team, even though they're completely banged up. They just lost Austin Riley for a short period of time, or maybe it's a long period of time. We'll see.
I think the rest of the season.
Yeah. Well, because will he be back for the playoffs? Did they say that?
No. I thought they said
the whole time.
Rest of the season.
What a bitch that is, man. That's just tough. They've lost. Like, we'd have to compare the Orioles and Braves to see who's lost more over this season. Maybe for us, it's more of the great pitching that we've had or we expected. They did lose some pitchers. They lost Spencer Strider, Ronald Acuna Jr., now Austin Riley. Yeah,
they've gotten crushed with him.
Michael Harris with the hamstring injury. He's back now. So anyway,
this is just updated. It says now 6 to 8 weeks.
That's what so I thought it would be close to whether or not he could come back for the playoffs, but he wouldn't have much time to get ready, if that matters to anyone. But Braves today, -115. I'll take my chances with Max Fried, lefty against that power lefty team that the Phillies have. I'm going to go back to the well with the Cubs under. I like the Dodgers under today. It's a really good pitching matchup. Logan Gilbert going up against the Dodgers. The Dodgers are trotting out the number one pitcher on today's slate. Makes me sick. Jack Flaherty is the number one pitcher on today's slate. I do like the Mets and the Rangers tonight. Andrew Haney's been awesome. We talked about, and look, both of these teams, if I'm going to fade the Orioles and I'm seeing all the money come in on them, we've seen Cole Irvin pitch. As much as I like to joke about MVP, he could come in. Weather could help him. I'm not expecting much from him tonight. On the flip side, I can't believe I'm expecting much from Sean Manaea, but he's been really good. Big ballpark is going to help him out. Left-hander going up against the Orioles, like it. Pittsburgh is the worst team in baseball against left-handed pitching. I think Andrew Haney, he might strike out 10 tonight. I think the A's are in a good spot. Cardinals in a good spot. Reds are in a good spot. That's kind of where I'm at today. WNBA, I'm going to take a look at the Minnesota-Las Vegas over. But as we start doing this and we get closer to football season, Rob, I'm going to change up how I do this. We're obviously going to focus on football quite a bit. And in the coming weeks, I'm going to try to give out a few more future bets for people. Maybe tomorrow I'll tell you some of the college overs I like, team totals.
Okay.
I think there's a lot of good spots. So there you go.
There you go. Thanks a lot, Jay McCon. By the way, Jack Flair's ERA this month, 3.78.
He's really good this year. It's just funny watching him pitch. I saw him last year. This wasn't it.
We all did.
I thought he was good before he got here. And I said it before, I think he's going to struggle. To me, he's a guy that struggles in the bright lights. It is. I mean, his ERA in July, the month of July, 1.53. And the month of June, 2.53. Before that, 2.84. Now, this month so far, 3.78. He gave up 4 home runs in the last 2 starts. He gave up 2 home runs all last month. He gave up 4 home runs and 4 starts in June. I just think when the lights are brighter, that's my assessment of him when he came here last year. Okay. Lots of talent, except for when you expect him to do something.
That's a problem.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Ben has the encore. You don't want to miss it. Find out what we learned today on The Fan.
Mic check 1, 2.
Thank you.
The only morning show in Baltimore that deserves a big bang. Encore.
Can I get an encore? Do you want more?
On 105.7 The Fan.
One last time, I need y'all to
roar. I don't know how you feel about it, but there's been some BBLs out there. You're like, what is that thing for? Is he supposed to eat lunch off of it? Like, it looks like a tray.
Set a glass on it.
Yeah.
I told you, I'm not a big-ass guy. I'm a tight-ass guy.
What's that?
Huh? I'm just, the big-ass is just
a tight-ass. What's that mean?
Sprinter's ass.
Ed, what's a tight-ass?
You don't know what a
tight-ass is? Just like you can bounce a quarter off it. A big-ass, you slap it on Christmas. It's still shaking on New Year's Eve.
Because you say I have a loose one. I just thought it was different.
I never said that.
Well, yeah, I don't know whether you do or not, man.
He just said I never said it and went into his phone and ignored me. I don't want anybody. Make eye contact, damn it.
No. And that was the encore. Brought to you by Naloxone. When people use opioids, they run the risk of overdosing. But with Naloxone, you can administer a life-saving dose. For more information, visit stopoverdose.maryland.gov or call or text 988.
Thank you very much, Ed. I saw Boomer Esiason a couple of breaks ago, and I'm not much of a fanboy. I'm not that guy.
Mm-hmm.
But I was with Boomer Esiason.
Don't you like when you say that? Because I was my Super Bowl story where I was bragging that I don't get starstruck, and I was walking next to John Elway, and I was bragging to Zeno. And I knocked over a pyramid of like 1,000 Gatorades. Think about the most embarrassing moment you can have. And I knocked them all over in front of John Elway because I couldn't stop staring at him. I was shocked he was walking next to me.
Yeah. Have you seen Boomer? Boomer's friends are one of my childhood friends. He was very supportive of Boomer's foundation. But he's one of my friends that couldn't become a cop because his physical. He ended up making $1 billion on Wall Street.
Oh, my God.
So
Boomer's the man. I saw him in the bathroom. I didn't talk to him then.
Did you shake his hand?
No.
Okay. Did you shake anything for him?
I didn't talk to him at the urinal. Then when I went over, I think he has the same principles because when we got to the sink, he said, hey, how you doing? I said, hey, you doing? Rob Long from up here from Baltimore. He said, yeah, I know. I heard. And he said, how's my guy Loxley doing down in Maryland? We sat there and talked Maryland football for a while. Yeah. He said he's a big supporter of the Terps. He loves Loxley.
He sent Jack a autographed football when Jack went to Maryland.
That's cool.
Yeah, he's a good man.
Yeah, he is.
Last time we interviewed him was years and years ago. He was doing it from his car. He got pulled over by the police in the middle of the interview.
Now time for you to find out what we learned today.
What we learn on the Big Bad Morning Show. 105.7 The Fan.
We learned today, Ed Norris.
Well, one of the things I learned was the nationally, the Ravens are looking like that's the second best team in football. They're number two in the ESPN power rankings. They've, you know, above a lot of teams like the 49ers and the Lions and, well, everybody else except the Chiefs. So that's looking pretty damn good. And I want to let listeners know, when you don't hear me on the air for next, hopefully not too long, I'm having back surgery tomorrow to relieve some of this.
He's having a bacchiotomy.
A bacchiotomy. Yeah. I'm having a spine replacement. Well, that's for the bosses here. I'm sorry.
Hey, well, that begins tomorrow?
Huh?
Yeah. That begins tomorrow?
Surgery's tomorrow.
I hope so. If you've seen him moving around this building, well, you haven't been here this week, and I'm assuming it may have been like it last week. He can't walk. Every time he goes to get up, he looks like the old guy that sat on his nuts.
I can't walk. My leg is just numb. It's painful, and it's numb, and it's got to be fixed. I can't live like this anymore. It was a bit of a surprise, but I didn't expect this to happen after the last surgery, but it did. So I will not be broadcasting remotely. I will have to be here. So whenever I can come back, I will come back.
Well, we wish you well, man.
Baby, come back. Thank you.
And screw you for leaving me in there with Jeremy.
Man, we're going to have so much fun.
No, we're not.
What do you want? I'm gonna come in a mankini one day next week. Do you want to pick the day or do you just want me to surprise you?
Today is National Senior Citizens Day. I learned that. Also, some birthdays in sports.
I knew. I was hoping that would just blow over.
I was going to keep it rolling. His man's having surgery tomorrow. I was going to leave him alone.
Oh, it's definitely Ed's day then.
I want
to have a walker tomorrow.
I will ask him about playing pickup ball with Jesus.
I am going to have a walker tomorrow because they told me right after I will use a walker. You know who's right behind me?
Who?
You.
Birthdays in sports, Jack Buck, the great Jack Buck, would have celebrated a birthday today. One of Ed's heroes, Wilt Chamberlain, would have celebrated a birthday today as well. Archie Griffin, the only two-time Heisman Trophy winner, he turned 70 today. Jim McMahon turned 65. Cubs manager Craig Counsell, he turns 54 today. Former pitcher Jason Marquis, he turns 46. And Mike Evans, currently for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, he turns 31. B.J. Upton, Usain Bolt, share birthday. Ed Norris, who's older? B.J. Upton, formerly of the Tampa Bay.
I think that's really close.
I would say Upton.
Upton, you think?
Yeah. How old would you guess
Bolt is? Bolt is. Those guys? Not old.
That'd be close for me to put them together.
Well, I know that, but I'm just trying to
I didn't put Jim McMahon with Usain Bolt.
Jim McMahon, then. He's 55. I'll take him.
He's 65, actually.
65. He's even older. I'll say it's Upton.
Says Upton?
That's what I
Ben.
Say. I'm going Bolt.
You going Bolt? Hey, Ben, you know, sometimes it's not good to go against the grain. The day B.J. Upton turns 40, Usain Bolt turns 38.
Mm-hmm. I haven't got one of these right.
Opposite picks.
You know, it's funny. Isn't B.J. Upton the guy who is first name is not
B.J.? It's not B.J.
And he's not a junior?
No. Yeah, that's him. What was it?
His first name doesn't begin with a B.
Was it Melvin Upton? Was that
his
name?
I think it's Melvin. It is.
Melvin.
What was his dad had mine?
Well, let me tell you this, Rob. Two robbers were robbing a liquor store. When one robber grabs a bottle and he asks the other one, is this whiskey? And the other one says, yeah, but not as whiskey as robbing a bank. Oh, man loses three fingers in a work accident at the hospital. He asks the doctor, will I be able to drive with his hand? The doctor replies, maybe, but I wouldn't count on it. I saw my wife trip over and drop a basket of clothes and that she just ironed. I watched it all unfold. This is a Rob one. Don't wait until you're on your deathbed to tell people how you feel. You could be too weak to raise your middle finger. And go ahead.
What'd you say? True.
Yeah, that is true. And lastly here, one of my favorites. I was talking with Bill Withers, and I said, ain't no sunshine when she's gone. That's bad grammar. And then he said, I know. There you go.
So dumb.
I said, my wife.
I'm going to be taking my trek on the subway to Citi Field from here. Yeah.
You going on the subway?
You're taking the subway?
They have a nice little app. That you know what subway to catch.
Yeah, that's been around. That's the subway app is pretty good, actually, because they have changed the trains for some reason. I don't know why they did this.
Go move it.
You know, yeah. Real quick, something that's funny. My wife yells at me for door dashing all the time. So, like, when she left for vacation, I was home by myself. I sent her a meme of Bill Withers singing Ain't No Sandwich when she's gone. she's like, you're an a-hole. Here comes DoorDash again.
Vinny and Henny up next. Have yourselves a safe and wonderful Hump Day Wednesday.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.